So I'm really curious about your work and your interest in the whole area of consensus molecular subtypes, and also the correlation. I see you have a paper looking at consensus molecular subtypes in right versus left colon cancer, really getting into kind of the newer views and more contemporary views of the biology of this disease. Can you try to explain it to a simple person like myself?
Oh, certainly. So the idea is that the DNA, the mutations that we see, give part of the story, but that we know that that doesn't give us the full picture of how the tumor is wired and how it behaves clinically. And so the effort was to say, well, let's look at the RNA, right? How the machinery is actually being driven in the cancer, and looking to see if there are common patterns that we see. And indeed, there were. We looked at 4,000 colon cancers and asked the question, just how are they wired? How are they behaving? And what we saw was that there was four major patterns, or four subtypes that we saw. Now, these subtypes were defined without any regards to clinical characteristics, mutation profiles, outcomes. It was really just all about the wiring.
And when you say wiring, could I just clarify, again, at a sort of macro level, the first place I think oncologists heard about this was in breast cancer.
Right, yeah.
Is this kind of comparable to the sub, you know, the luminal, et cetera, in breast cancer?
Right, exactly, or the germinal center in lymphoma.
Right.
So that is exactly it. Now, in colon cancer, there have been several papers, but we hadn't really defined a consensus group. Consensus classification. And so part of the reason that this has now kind of caught on and been engaged in many fronts for drug development and further translational research is that when we're talking multiple different languages, it's hard to advance. So part of what this effort, consensus molecular subtypes, just means taking the existing data, coming to some conclusions on what these subtypes are. But indeed, that's exactly it. How does the RNA signatures define these subgroups?
And what about the correlation between this, and maybe you can talk a little bit more about how the four subtypes vary, particularly in terms of phenotype, if we know anything about it, but how it correlates with sightedness?
Yeah, absolutely. So the four different subtypes, the CMS1 is one that it's a very immune-driven subtype. So this includes MSI-high tumors, but is also beyond that as well. So it also includes ones that have a very robust immune infiltrate for other reasons. The BRAF mutant tumors, many of them fall into this category as well. The second subgroup is what we call the canonical. So this is the one that's kind of classically defined as an APC mutation, you know, MYC overexpression, P53 mutations. This is the one that tends to have a little more of the smokers in this. The CMS3 is a novel one that's really this metabolic group. These are patients that have a lot of central obesity, have diabetes. There's a very high rate of KRAS mutation in this setting, you know, 80-some percent, and this kind of intriguing metabolic derangement. The CMS2 and 3 we call the immune desert. Really, there's no signs that the immune system is even engaging at all. CMS4 is an intriguing one. We call it the kind of a mesenchymal subtype, where there is a very inhospitable and active microenvironment. So very active stroma. And the immune system actually intriguingly looks like it's engaged to a certain amount, but it's excluded by the microenvironment, right? So there is a degree of inflammation in these tumors, but the T cells just can't get in there and engage. And so this may be TGF-beta driven or others. So the intriguing thing is that these have very different prognostic impacts in metastatic disease that can segregate between a year and a half to 3.5 year survival. So there's a lot of differences in their biology. There's an association then of where they're located. So the 1 and 3s tend to be more right-sided. The 2s tend to be more left-sided. And the 4s can be distributed a bit throughout. But it's a really interesting opportunity to now study these individual subgroups because they're now much more uniform in their biology. So we can then design drugs and inhibitors and strategies that may be more relevant for them.